Awesome. Well, I am really looking forward to sharing this message with you. I'm going to go ahead and start by giving you my my sermon in a sentence. You know, I like to give one sentence that just kind of sums up this whole sermon. If you don't get anything else this morning, I want you to get this, okay? The only way to walk with God is to stay in step with His Spirit. Should we start out with a hearty amen? Yeah, I'm going to need you this morning. I'm going to need you this morning, all right? Let me go ahead and give you the title of this sermon as well. Keep up. Write that down. That's the title for the sermon this morning, this weekend. Keep up. John chapter 3, a very familiar chapter of Scripture for most of us. This is where Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and he had some questions, all right? He's like, man, how you doing all this stuff? How you healing people? Raising people from the dead? Driving out demons? All this stuff. How you changing hearts and changing lives? And Jesus just jumps right in. He says, truly, truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Well, how can a man be born when he's old? Nicodemus asked. Can he enter into his mother's belly again to be born? And Jesus answered, truly, truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh is born of flesh, but spirit is born of the spirit. Do not be amazed that I have said you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. That word spirit in the language that Jesus was speaking is the word ruach. We just saw that in the video. It's actually ruach with a little ch at the end. You guys want to give it a shot? Ruach. It's kind of fun. Makes you feel like you're doing something mischievous. Kind of, you know? Ruach. Nicodemus was acquainted with religion, but he wasn't acquainted with the ruach, with the Spirit, with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is saying, Nicodemus, what you're seeing is a move of the Holy Spirit. You can't see the wind, but you can see it when it moves across the water. Right, guys? Isn't that right? You can't hear it except for when it's blowing through the trees and moving the trees. It's the same with the Ruach, with the Spirit. You may not see Him, but you can see when the Holy Spirit is moving, right? When the Holy Spirit is touching things. And that's what we want. We want to see the Spirit move. Isn't that right? We want to see the Spirit moving. Last week, if you were here, they sang a song called, This is a Move. Mountains are still being moved. Strongholds are still being loosed. Y'all remember that? God, we believe it. Yes, we can see that. Wonders are still what you do. We need a move. And even this morning, we sang, I've seen you move. And y'all are singing it with all your heart. You move the mountain. I believe. See you do it again. We're acquainted with religion too, aren't we? But we want to be more acquainted with the Ruach. Amen? We need a move. We need for God to breathe His life into our lives. We need the wind of the Spirit to blow across our land. Isn't that right? The Ruach HaKodesh. We want the Ruach more than we want religion. Anybody with me? Okay, so listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, you can turn there if you want, but I'm going to blow through this really fast. And so if you want to just listen, that's fine too. But starting in verse 13, he says, for you, brothers, were called to freedom, but do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is fulfilled in one single decree. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you keep on biting and devouring one another, watch out, or you will be consumed by one another. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh craves what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are opposed to each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And then he gets into this little list. Lists are important. My wife always says that. When you're studying the Bible, if you see a list, you need to pay attention. He says, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Top of the list, sexual immorality. Impurity, debauchery, idolatry and sorcery, hatred, discord, jealousy and rage, rivalries, divisions, factions. You guys know what a faction is? A faction is a small group of people, maybe a large group of people, but a group of people that are maybe separate from others in some ideas, some expectations, some reasoning, some agendas. And depending upon what those ideas and agendas are, they're just in opposition and just kind of cantankerous towards everyone else. So you can have a faction about this and then a complete different faction over here, and the factions are just going back and forth. And he's talking about this can't happen in the church, but we're seeing factions in the church, aren't we? About all kinds of stuff, just ridiculous stuff. We've got to be careful about factions. Don't be a part of it. Can I just say that? If you're at home listening, if you're here, be careful not to be a part of a faction. You may even agree with someone from this group or this group. That's okay. Just don't be part of a faction. Amen. Be careful. That's a fact. Option. Envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who practice such things, to practice means that you make it a daily part of your life. Take that list. It doesn't mean if you're jealous once, oh man, but if it's a practice in your life, if it's a pattern, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's big talk, isn't it? But then he goes on, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And look at what he ends this section. He says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us walk in step with the Spirit. And my wife and I love to go for walks. It's one of the ways that we connect together. But I got to tell you, it's hard to keep up with that woman. She gets going, man. She's got this pace. I don't even know. She starts getting ahead of me, right? It's a challenge to keep up. She starts getting ahead of me, and if I start falling behind, she looks back and says, hey, come on, keep up. I'm like, oh, get up there with her, you know? And I have to push myself to keep her walk pace. Let me say it this way. I have to be intentional about walking in step with my wife. The moment I start lollygagging, I look up, and she's like 10 feet ahead of me. Right? Because honestly, I'm a little ADD. And so it's easy for me to be like, squirrel! Like literally, squirrel. Squirrel might run across the road. Squirrel might climb up the tree. Might be hanging upside down on a bird feeder. You know, I am like, oh, cool, look at that. She's like, come on, keep up. Living by the Spirit. Being led by the Spirit. Walking in step with the Spirit. It's so important that we walk by the Spirit. Listen, there's a lot of people walking by the Spirit. Like they just walk right on by the Spirit. Walk right on past him. Like he's not even there. You guys know what I'm talking about? I talked about this a couple weeks ago about how the Holy Spirit is the most ignored person in the church. That's not what Paul's talking about when he says walk by the Spirit. He's not saying walk on by the Spirit. He's telling us that if you want to live the life that God has called you to live, you have got to stay in step with the Holy Spirit. He's moving. And we've got to move with Him. Amen? Now, please understand, I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit is changing. The Holy Spirit doesn't change. The business that the Holy Spirit will always be about is promoting Jesus and helping us become more like Jesus. That doesn't change. But the way that the Holy Spirit helps us work that out in our lives is always fresh. If it's not fresh in your life, there's a good chance that you are counting on or clinging to something God did a year ago or 5 years or 10 years ago. And not that that was bad. That was probably good and instrumental to getting you to where you are today. But if you're counting on that to be your current boost in your faith, you can't. Why? Because it would be ignoring what God is doing, the Holy Spirit is doing, fresh and new right now. We have to be careful. That is one of the most dangerous things. The Holy Spirit is always moving, constantly working and leading. And what Paul's saying is if you don't want to stall out or even go backwards in your relationship with God, you have got to stay in step with the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, he writes two letters, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. At the end, the very end, the way that he wraps up his second letter, he says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit, or the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with you all. Okay, what kind of fellowship would take place if I were always 10 steps behind my wife when we go for a walk? None, right? At that point, it's just like you're walking a dog. And since I'm the one chasing squirrels, that makes me the dog, right? We don't care if the dog is ahead of us or behind of us or chasing a squirrel or, you know, squatting on the yard. We don't care. It's a dog. We're not trying to have a conversation with a dog because it's an it, right? But the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a who. In fact, the Holy Spirit is a he. I want to show you something really, really neat. John chapter 16 is going to be on the screen so you all can see it. And this is Jesus talking. This is what makes it even better. He says, I tell you the truth. You ever notice Jesus is always saying, I tell you the truth? You know why I think he's saying that? Because a lot of religious leaders were liars. It could be that he just can't tell anything other than the truth. And he just said, I always tell the truth. We should always tell the truth. Look what he says. But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Moving down in verse 13, he says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. The Holy Spirit is a person. Can you guys see that? The Holy Spirit is a person that has insight. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us that the Spirit knows the thoughts of God and helps us to know them. The Holy Spirit is a person who has knowledge. Romans chapter 8 talks about how we can have the mind of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person who has a will. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which is where we find what's called the manifestation gifts of the Spirit. And it also talks a lot about the body of Christ and how though we are many, we are one body in Christ Jesus and we need each other. It says that the Holy Spirit distributes spiritual gifts just as He, the Spirit, wills or desires or determines. The Holy Spirit is a person that grieves. Well, grief is an emotion, isn't that right? In Ephesians chapter 4, it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is a person. And to view the Holy Spirit as an it, there's some things that can happen. One thing is you could find yourself afraid of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a lot of people that are afraid of the Holy Spirit. There are entire denominations that exclude the Holy Spirit from the conversation. They don't believe He heals anymore. They don't believe miracles happen anymore. They don't believe in prophecy anymore or any of the other spiritual gifts. They say that those things don't happen today. Those things, the way the Holy Spirit worked then, that stopped or that died out with the apostles. I don't believe Scripture teaches that, to be honest with you. And so what you have is this religion without the Ruach. That's where Nicodemus was. Okay, so but you can also swing, if you see the Holy Spirit as an it, you can also swing that pendulum all the way to the other side to where now if you see the Holy Spirit as an it, you might abuse Him. Like you just use the Holy Spirit for your gain, your advantage. You see Him as a rabbit's foot or a trinket of some kind that you can rub or use or conjure up the power of the Holy Spirit or whatever. And when that happens, you begin dishonoring the Lord. It really becomes very irreverent in your walk with the Lord. And that's where the church of Corinth had gotten. Again, Paul writes two letters, and much of those letters is correcting and challenging and teaching the Corinthians how not to be weird, to be honest with you. Seriously. They were misusing the gifts of the Spirit, even faking the Spirit gifts of the Spirit. Why? Because they wanted to look more godly. So from that angle, you have religion with the Ruach, but you don't have a relationship with the Ruach. You see how that works? I'm going to give you one more, and I had to find a word for this one because I had an idea, but us preachers like for our words to start with the same letter sometimes. Somehow we think that helps you remember them better. And so I had this idea, and the word is asperse. If you see the Holy Spirit as an it, you will asperse Him. And what that means is you will malign Him. You will defame Him. You will slander Him. And really what the word means is you will smear the reputation of the Holy Spirit if you see Him as an it. The Apostle Paul told Timothy to watch out for people who do this. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul's writing to Timothy, who was a pastor at the time. He says, man, I got to tell you, you need to understand this. In the last days, terrible times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful. Here's another list, right? Arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Kids, you can't be disobedient to your parents. You got to mind them, right? You got to obey. Everybody say, I will obey. Yeah, I didn't hear any adults say that. What's the deal? Been there, done that. I ain't doing that again. Ungrateful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, without love of good, traitorous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And then he gives this little phrase, super important. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And he says, turn away from such as these. Now you got to understand that he is talking about religious people who claim that they know God, but they're not walking in step with the Holy Spirit. In fact, they are aspersing the Holy Spirit. They are smearing the reputation of the Holy Spirit. He goes on and he gives an Old Testament example. He said, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, also these men opposed the truth, talking about people in the last days. They are depraved in mind and they disqualify themselves from the faith. But they will not advance much further. For they, just like Jannes and Jambres, their folly will be plain to everyone. Guys, we're living in a season of history where we have to walk in step with the Holy Spirit. Amen? There's so many voices, so many agendas. Everywhere we turn, someone is trying to lead us. And quite honestly, some of those efforts are insidious. You know what insidious means? Insidious means having a gradual and cumulative effect, developing so gradually as to be well established before becoming apparent. Reminds me of Star Wars. The big bad guy's name is what? Darth Sidious. And if you're familiar with the plot, you're like, oh my goodness. Star Wars might very well be the most prophetic storyline for the end times that you've ever seen. I'm not even kidding. Insidious means awaiting a chance to entrap. It means harmful to entice or seductive. And you know who's going to be easily seduced? I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to say it in five different ways. Okay? People who don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Let me say it another way. People who are not in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. People who don't walk in step with the Holy Spirit. People who won't walk by the Spirit. Let me say it one more way. People who aren't motivated to keep up with the Holy Spirit. You know, when I get distracted with squirrels and I slow down and my wife has to say, come on, keep up. What do? Get up there and get right beside her, right? Why? Because I want to be with her. That's the point of our walks, right? So that we can be together. And that's the point of our relationship with God. Our walks with Him is to experience a relationship, experience fellowship. But I'm telling you, you can't really experience fellowship with God without a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Again, our sermon in a sentence, the only way to walk with God is to walk in step, to be in step, to stay in step with the Holy Spirit. So let me give you three reasons a relationship with the Ruach is totally rad. Okay? Are you ready? Write that down. I'm going to give you three reasons a relationship with the Ruach is totally rad. Okay, and I'm not going to go too terribly deep in this. I'm going to give you a list of things that you can take home, lots of scriptures you can take home. You can go study out on your own. Read these with your kids. Help them develop a relationship with the Ruach, okay, with the Holy Spirit. Number one, the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is the third person of what we would call the Godhead or the Trinity. I don't have time to dig deep down on the Trinity. Most of us have at least a general idea of what that means. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He is the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is God. Again, I don't have time to go too far, but my favorite place that shows that the Holy Spirit is God is in the book of Acts, okay? Acts chapter 5. This is where you might remember that Ananias and Sapphira, they sold a piece of property. And they told the apostles, we're going to give all of this earnings to the church. And they're like, all right. So they come, but they didn't give all the earnings. God showed Peter that they held some back. And Peter didn't care either way. You know, it's their money. You're the one that said. But listen to what Peter says. He says, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? He says, it was your property. You didn't have to sell it. If you did sell it, you didn't have to give any money. You didn't have to give any of it. You could give half of it. If you want to give all of it, you can give all of it. It's up to you. But you told us you gave all of it, and the Holy Spirit just showed me that you didn't give all of it. You have lied to the Holy Spirit. And then he says, you have not lied to men. You think you're lying to me, but you have lied to God. So there in the same section, he says, you have lied to the Holy Spirit, and he says, you have lied to God. Why would he say that? Because the Holy Spirit is God. Amen. He was there in the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, right? The earth was formless and void, and the Spirit of God hovered over the water. He's here in the now. Psalm 139, remember, it says, where can I go? The psalmist says, where can I go from your Spirit? Because he's always where. It doesn't matter where we try to go. The Holy Spirit, he's there. He's loving us. He's keeping us close to God. He's drawing us near. Amen. It's like 1 Corinthians 2, it says, again, the Spirit knows the thoughts of God and helps us to know them. That means that any moment that we want to or need to know what God is thinking, what he's working, how he's moving, the Holy Spirit is there in the now to show us. Isn't that good? So the Holy Spirit is God. And he is there in the beginning. He's here in the now. But did you know he's also there at the end? The last book of the Bible, Revelations. Very end of the Bible, Revelation 22, it says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Isn't that good? Let me give you the second thing. The Holy Spirit's God. The Holy Spirit is good. Write that down. There are some that have a hard time believing this, but because the Holy Spirit is God, he can only relate to us in ways that are good. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit is good. Here, let me give you a few reasons why the Holy Spirit is good. One, these are like job descriptions. This is what the Holy Spirit is about on a daily basis in our lives. Number one, he convicts. In John chapter 16, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Now, you may not think that's a very good thing. Man, I don't like being convicted. I always feel pretty terrible when I... Listen, if the Holy Spirit didn't convict us, we would remain in our sin. And when we remain in our sin, we remain disconnected from God. So it's a good thing when the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin so that we might have the opportunity to repent. And whatever little chasm, great or small, that has been caused by our sin, when we repent and confess our sins one to another, that chasm disappears. And we're hearing from the Lord clearly again. And we're walking in fellowship with him again. Isn't that good? The Holy Spirit counsels. He's good because he counsels. But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, the counselor from whom the Father will send in my name will teach you all things and bring to remembrance things that I've said. He counsels us. There's times when we are sad, we're grieving. Maybe we're anxious, we're tired, we're lonely. Whatever it is, whatever that emotion is that's rising up and the enemy tries to use to bring us down, the Holy Spirit says, let me counsel you and build you up. That's good. The Holy Spirit comforts us. I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. That word also translates comforter, that he may be with you forever. He comforts us. He guides us. John 16, Jesus is the one saying all this stuff, you guys. When he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth. So one of the roles of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to guide us into truth. Isn't that good? Can I pause and say something real quick? I want everybody to look up at me. I believe everybody here is really interested in truth. And especially right now. Right? And we see things and we hear things and we read things. But I want to tell you, there some of the things we read or hear or whatever might be in the realm of facts. Do you know facts can change? Now think about that. Well, then how is it a fact? Well, facts, just think of it. Facts can change. Truth doesn't change. Facts can change. Well, I heard, and then that's a fact. A week later, well, now they're saying facts can change. Amen? Truth doesn't change. But we're seekers of truth. We're trying to find truth. And so when we hear something or we read something and we perceive it as truth, can I tell you, timing is everything. What do you mean, Pastor Tony? Well, our problem is as soon as we grab truth, we want to become the prophet of that truth and proclaim it everywhere we can. And that's not a bad thing, but timing is everything. It may not be the time for you to share that truth. This past week, I learned something in studying and reading and stuff. I learned something. I'm like, I've never heard this before, but my heart tells me it's true. You guys know what I'm talking about? You know how somebody like, oh my gosh, I think that one's true. And it's a big one about some of the stuff going on in the world right now. And I believe that it's true, but I'm choosing to sit on this one for a while. Study it out some more, reason some more. And you know what? I may never share this little morsel because it has the potential to really divide. And if I'm going to be a prophet of some truth, I better make sure that I know that I know that I know that it's worth sharing. Everyone picking up what I'm laying down? Be careful. Just because you know it doesn't mean you share it. Tattoo that somewhere on your body. Okay? The Holy Spirit is good because he prays. He intercedes. Romans chapter 8, this is Paul. In the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Now, we're going to talk about that in some coming weeks. But for tonight, just know that the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is good. And let me give you one more. The Holy Spirit is a gift. Let me say it this way, because this is actually more accurate. Because, see, we get kind of caught up with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Gifts of the Holy Spirit are good. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts. We just said, just as he determines. But we get real caught up and enamored with the gifts. Whatever your gift is of choice, maybe it's prophecy, maybe it's miracles, maybe it's speaking in tongues. Those are all great. Those are all fine. They're all legitimate. But they're gifts. Jesus is saying, and Paul is saying, if you're going to be enamored with anything, be enamored with the gift. Remember, Jesus told the apostles, go to all the worlds, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but wait for the gift my Father has promised. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the gift, a gift that God gave to us. John 16, I tell you the Spirit of truth, it's to your advantage that I go away, for if I don't go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. God gave the Holy Spirit to us. God sent the Holy Spirit for us. That same place, he said, it's to your advantage that I go away and send the Holy Spirit. It's to your advantage. This is for you. I am giving this gift for you. And then God put the Holy Spirit in us. Jesus said that. The Spirit of truth. You know him because he's with you. But very soon he will be in you. And of course we know John 3, 1 John 3, says that he abides in us by the Holy Spirit whom he, Jesus, has given us. Isn't this good stuff? Yes. Let me say this again. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is a continuation of the ministry of Jesus. He put the Holy Spirit in us so that the ministry of Jesus can continue. Remember, Jesus said, hey, I've done some pretty cool stuff, but you're going to do greater stuff than this. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's in us. The Holy Spirit continues the ministry of Jesus. Let me give you a couple more scriptures real quick. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you. Let me show you one more, and this is probably my favorite. Galatians 4:6. Doesn't get much better than this. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. Does it even get more intimate than that? We don't want religion, you guys. Are we in agreement this morning? Are there unity in the house? We don't want religion. We want a relationship with the Ruach. I'm gonna tell you two things real quick. One of them you're gonna be, yeah, I've heard that. That makes total sense. The second thing, you may have never heard it thought of this way, but this is 100% true. Okay? Let me tell you the first thing. My initial connection with God has been made possible through Christ Jesus. We all understand that. True? We know that Jesus came, right? And He died on the cross, even though He didn't deserve it. We're the one that deserved to die, but He took our death. He became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God, right? Because of Him, we are redeemed. We are reconciled. Our relationship with God is restored. Adam and Eve's failure has been made right because of Jesus. We get that. Our initial connection with God is made possible through the person and work of Jesus. But now listen, super important. Most people don't either know this or realize it and understand it. Our continual connection with God is made possible through the Holy Spirit. And that's why it's important to have a relationship with the Ruach. Again, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is a continuation of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, we've said that several times, a relationship with the Ruach, relationship with the Ruach. We've said that a few different ways tonight. So you may be asking yourself, okay, well then how do I have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? And that's what we're going to be talking about for the coming weeks, how to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We have lots of things to tell you. For tonight, or this morning rather, I want you to grab this and understand this. Take these things home and read these scriptures and shore this up in your heart and mind. The Holy Spirit is God. You're like, well, duh. No, there are a lot of people that don't get that. They think the Holy Spirit is this it that flutters around, you know. The Holy Spirit is God. Wrap your heart around that. It changes things. The Holy Spirit is good. Begin to understand the role of the Holy Spirit in your life, and that He was sent as another. Jesus said, I will send you another helper. Jesus was the first helper. He sent another helper. That's the Holy Spirit. If you don't understand that, the Holy Spirit's trying to give you help, but you're resisting. And that's one of the things that grieves the Holy Spirit. Wrap your heart and your brain around that He is a gift. And I'll go ahead and add a fourth one for tonight. Do not be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Do not be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Invite the Holy Spirit into your life. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you, to guide you into truth. For help, ask the Holy Spirit to comfort you, to counsel you. I've heard people say you shouldn't actually pray to the Holy Spirit. Really? That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard. And pray to God. If it comes out that you're praying to Jesus, okay. If you say, Holy Spirit, I ask you, or Holy Spirit, I pray. Like, really? That's bad? It can't be bad. It has to be good because the Holy Spirit is God. He has a distinct role in our relationship with God, doesn't He? He comforts us. He counsels us. He guides us. He prays for us. When we don't know how to pray, Scripture says He'll pray for us. It's okay. Holy Spirit, will you help me today? If you need to get all of them in one prayer, God, I thank you that you created me. Jesus, I thank you that you saved me. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you sanctify me. You can say it however you want, but it is okay to acknowledge the Holy Spirit in prayer. Amen. Let's stand. I want to pray for you. I went a little longer than I planned to, but I think it'll be okay. Are you glad you came this morning? How many of you feel like you are really encouraged? Good, good. Sometimes I'll ask you to hold out your hand. I'm actually going to, if you feel okay with doing this, I'd love for you to like lift a hand this morning. This is, you know, in the Old Testament, this is how they would bless the Lord. They would extend their hand out and they would bless the Lord, which is a way of saying, God, I love you. Everything that you have, I acknowledge as amazing and I want for myself. It's also an easy way to surrender. You could even think of it, I'm reaching my hand up because I'm trying to get as close to God as I can. So we're lifting our hands to you this morning, God. Your word says that our hands are holy, that we can lift holy hands to the Lord. We know that our hands aren't holy because of who we are, but because of who Jesus is. The blood that he shed on the cross cleansed us of all unrighteousness. We lift holy hands because of the work of Jesus. And we extend our hands upward this morning just as another way to say, I surrender to the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray right now, whatever area in anyone's heart and life this morning that needs the powerful work of the Holy Spirit, the change that can happen, the conviction that needs to take place, I pray as this hand is lifted that you would come upon them in a mighty and fresh way, and there would be such a motivation to walk in step with you from this day forward. I know that's your heart, so I know that we are praying according to your will. And Lord, together, we bless you this morning. We bless you. We end by just blessing your name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Amen.